Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, church. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We come in Sunday after Sunday, and I pray that we don't feel we're obligated to come in Sunday after Sunday, but we come in purposefully to serve the Lord, to worship with one another. So it's a joy to see your faces this morning. You had a blessed week, I take it. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for blessing us to make it through this week. Isn't God good? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we're so grateful that he looked upon us this morning and woke us up this morning and closed us in our right minds this morning and started us on our way, brought us into his place of worship. First Congregational, I want to say thank you once again for inviting my wife and I here to fellowship with you all. It's always a pleasure, and I truly enjoy doing the work of the Lord. Now, see, we have the babies in the choir stand today. We're going to bless them because, you know, they are our future, and we must give them every bit of encouragement that we can do it while we can do it. Amen? Amen. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our Lord and Savior, we come before your presence once again in the name of your Son, Jesus, saying thank you, Father God. Thank you for all that you have done for us, for all that you're doing, and for all that you're going to do for us, Father God. We pause, Father, and ask in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us for those sins that we've committed against you, Lord. That you will look beyond our faults and see and provide our needs, Lord, according to your word, according to your will, according to your way. We continue to lift up First Congregational Christian Church to you in the name of Jesus, asking that you continue to bless them, Father God. Continue to anoint them, Father God. Continue to protect them, Father God. To continue to lead and guide them in the path of righteousness that you would have them to go, Lord. We pray, Father God, for every ministry of the church. We pray also, Father God, that you will continue to bless them individually and collectively, Father. We lift up our children to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, asking that you would be with them, Father God. Use their voices now, Lord, this day to bring glory unto your name, Father God. Use their voices this day, Father God, to minister into some person, Father God, that may only hear your word through songs. We pray right now, Father, that you allow your Holy Spirit to dwell upon each of us, Father. Bless us, Father God, from pew to pew, person to person, Father. Though we serve you, Father God, individually, we come before you now collectively, Father God, to give you praise, honor, and worship. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Say they want to go higher and higher in the Lord. Anybody want to go higher and higher in the Lord? They sang a song earlier, said when you decide to follow Jesus, don't turn back. If you want to go higher in the Lord, don't turn back. Luke 9 and 62 tells us if a man decides to follow God and turns back, he is not worthy of the kingdom. So if you want to make it into the kingdom, continue to follow Jesus, and he will take you, what, children? Higher and higher. Praise the Lord. Let's give the babies a round of applause for God using them the way he did. Amen. For they are worthy children. Thank you for their being in the house of worship this morning. Sister B couldn't have said it any more better that they could have been anywhere. It's spring break, and many of them want to go to the beaches, want to go and have fun, but they're in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not part from it. You're training them up in the way of the Lord, and that's the best way to train them. Hallelujah. When we're in God's hands, we're in the best hands. Amen, amen, amen. And before I go into the word today, I want to get a couple of preliminaries out of the way. And I know Sister B have already acknowledged the visitors, but I want to acknowledge personally for myself the visitors, and especially my mother. My mother, Marzella Wiggins, here raised us up in the church, Cedar Grove Missionary Baptist Church, Pensacola, Florida. And so I thank God for her being here this morning. Thank God for my brother Julius bringing her up this morning. He didn't have to, but he did, because she wanted to fellowship and worship with her son and daughter-in-law this morning. And they were going to come because Reverend Wiggins has been offered a pastor position at Briar Hill Missionary Baptist Church, Matthews, Alabama. I was meant to call Brother Sam on Thursday. I usually talk to him before we have Sunday worship service and to tell him that, but I was so busy at work and tied up, I didn't get around to telling him. So I'm dropping that dime on you now that thank God for that. And I solicit your prayers that God will continue to bless myself and Sister Wiggins as we venture out to do what it is God has called us to do. So he thought that I would be preaching there, but I said, I tell you what, bro, you come on up to First Congregational. You all going to love that church. I said, because the people show you true love when you come through the doors. You know, it's nothing like going into a place and feeling like you're a part of the place. Not just welcomed in, but you're a part of that body. So thank God again for First Congregational. Now my brother does have a running partner that usually runs with him, Brother Johnny Goldsmith, but he couldn't make it this morning. So my brother said, well, Johnny gave me this and told me to give it to you. And I said, well, you know, it must be for the church. Because if he was here, Brother Sam, come offering time, he would have given what God had purposed in his heart for him to give. So I took it upon myself under the obedience of the Spirit to go ahead and drop that in an envelope. He couldn't be here with you physically to fellowship with you, but he wanted to bless you anyway. So I thank God for that. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Eternal God, my Lord and Savior, I come before your presence once again in humble submission, kneeling to you, Father. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you cause me to decrease, that you increase, Father God. I pray, Father God, that this word that you have prepared to deliver through me will be received by your people, Father God, that they would embrace your word, Father God, and that they would live your word, Father. I pray now, Father, and ask in the name of Jesus that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me throughout this service, Father God. We pray that you be pleased with the words that will be spoken this day. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in thy sight. It's in the name of Jesus I do pray. Amen. 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 You all ready for the word this morning? Amen. Well, the word this morning is coming from the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 23 through 26. Acts 16, verses 23 through 26. I'll give you a moment to turn there. And as always, those of you who would like to stand with me as we read God's word, I bid you to do that at this time. Amen. Amen. Acts 16, 23 through 26. And if you need a minute, say, wait a minute. And we'll wait on you because we want us all to be on one accord. Amen. If you got it, say amen. Amen. And I'll be reading to you from the King James Version. And God's word reads, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. You may take your seats. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and immediately all the doors opened and everyone's bands were loose. I want to use for a subject this morning, an on-time God. He's suddenly in what he does and immediately. We serve an on-time God. According to Webster, suddenly is something that happens unexpectedly. It comes without warning, whereas immediately means that it's something that happens instantly. It's right now. It comes and it happens without delay. And I think some of us probably can relate to that. As we live in this microwave society, we want things to happen suddenly and immediately in our life. But as children of God, we must exercise in faith, trust, and patience, realizing that we're on God's timetable and he's not on ours. So the problem that we have this morning, church, is that we want God to align himself with our schedules. We fail to realize and acknowledge that we must put things in proper order. Proper order is God first, his kingdom, his righteousness. So rather than he aligning himself with our schedules, we must purposely align ourselves with his schedule. And we do that according to his word. See, being on God's schedule and on his timetable, we will find ourselves suddenly praying unto him and then praising and worshiping God. And immediately we can find ourselves reaping the benefits of God's grace and his mercy upon our call. If nothing else, our joy will be restored. I heard David say, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uplift me with thy right spirit. And David said, then will I teach the transgressors. Then will those be converted and return unto you. We serve an on-time God. How many of you believe that we serve an on-time God? Has he brought you out of anything? Has he showed up unexpectedly to you? Has he blessed you in spite of when I didn't deserve it, but it was right on time? Might not be when I want it, but he's going to be on time every time. 2 Peter 3:8, Peter tells us that, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. He said that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So what is he saying? God is on a divine timetable. And since he's on a divine timetable, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not ours, and neither are ours his. In this chapter 16 of the book of Acts, Dr. Luke is telling the story about Paul, Timothy, and Silas. They were traveling throughout the region of Galatia, and Paul was revisiting churches that he had erected throughout the region. But Paul, in his travels, desired to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow him to preach the gospel in Asia. And therefore, he decided to go on to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow him to even preach the gospel in Bithynia, which is a northern part of Galatia. You can find that in verse 6 and 7, where he desired to go there. So then we too must remember that we are advocates of God. We are servants of the Lord. So therefore, we must be moved by the Spirit to do the will of God according to the word of God. We can't just take things into our own hands. We're going to do it our way. Don't you remember Jonah? God told him to go to Nineveh, but he didn't want to go there. I'm going to go to Tarshish instead. But he found himself in the belly of a whale, and God had to rescue him at the belly of the whale. Can't just do what we want to do, because when act right comes, you'll realize that had I just did it back then, I wouldn't have to go through this now. I have a younger brother that I had in the car with me one day, and this was years ago, church. So let me just put that out there. Over some 35 years ago, we were going to go to the club. My older brother back here owned the club there in Pensacola, Florida, and we're going to go to this club, and my younger brother was already drunk. And he was so drunk, I didn't want him to go with me. And I said, Michael, I'm not going to take you to the club with me. You're drunk, man. You know, there's no need for you to go there. I'm taking you back to Mama's house. And we were only a few blocks from Mama's house. But Michael was determined to go with me. And so when I turned around and I got to the stop sign and I took off, and this clown opened the door and jumped out. Well, when he jumped out, he had a meeting with the asphalt. It didn't kill him, but it gave him some act right. Because when he got up, he had scratches all over his face, had scratches over his back. And you know what he said to me? Take me to Mama's house. That's where I was trying to take you. So we can't just take and go where we want to go, because in the midst of our going where we want to go and doing what we want to do, when God gives us some act right, there's no need for us to be mad at him and nobody else. Had I just listened in the first place. Let me tell you something. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Let me paint a picture for you. The Lord told you to get up and go over to First Congregational Christian Church today. You don't know why he told you to get up and go there. It wasn't going there to see my baby sing in the choir. I wasn't going there to say hello to my best friend, because I know my best friend is going to be there. But he said, get up and go to First Congregational Church Sunday morning. It's weighing heavy on me. I don't understand why he want me to go. But here you go. I'm not going to go there tomorrow. You know, I'm going to go to the Aquadome tomorrow over at the Alabama State, because T.D. Jakes going to be at the Aquadome. So I'm going to go to that. You know, Creflo Dollar is going to be at the Aquadome. I'm going to the Aquadome. Mary is going to be at the Aquadome. I'm going to the Aquadome. So they get up and you go to the Aquadome rather than coming to the place where God had told you to come. And with that being done, you miss your blessings. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Paul was obedient. Paul was obedient to the point of he went to where God told him to go. The Spirit stopped him from going to Asia. The Spirit stopped him from going to Bithynia. So therefore, he went on down through Messiah. And when he got through Messiah, he went over in Troas. And there he planted himself for the night. And because he was walking in obedience, there came to him the vision of a man from Macedonia. And this man from Macedonia came to him praying and said, I pray ye come over to Macedonia and do what? Help us. See, had Paul gone on to Asia, had he gone on to do what it was he wanted to do, he would have missed out on some blessings. Watch this. In verse 10, it says, when the vision came to Paul, Paul immediately vowed to go to Macedonia. He wanted to go there. He sought to go there. I longed to go there. And it was immediate that he wanted to do it. And watch this. The vision came to Paul, but he had some folks traveling with him. And so Paul spoke it to the people that was traveling with him. And they all were on one accord, ready to roll on over to Macedonia. But they couldn't leave right then because there was a storm going on in the Aegean Sea. And therefore, they had to wait until the storm calmed. And as soon as the storm calmed, they pressed their way on across the sea and made it into Macedonia. But had he gone on to do what it was he wanted to do, he would have missed the divine appointment that God has for him. So when God was speaking to you about get up in the morning and go to First Congregational, he was sending you on a divine appointment. You thought you was going for your baby singing in the choir, but you didn't know you were going to bless somebody by seeing your face walk through the door. I hadn't seen you in a long time. Bless my heart. Now I understand why God sent me to First Congregational rather than allow me to go on and do what it was I wanted to do. So it said immediately he desired to go over into Macedonia. And watch this. He came to this conclusion. If you got your Bibles, look at verse 10. If you got your Bible, I want you to go to verse 10 with me. Verse 10, same book. Yeah. Verse 10. After the vision, because look at what Paul said. He said, and after he had seen the vision, said immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia. And watch this. Here's the conclusion of the matter. He came to an understanding. He came to this conclusion that his going to Macedonia had to be from God, because God wanted them to go to Macedonia and preach the gospel to them there in Macedonia. Mark 16 and 15 tells us, Jesus tells his disciples, the Great Commission, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And said, and every creature that accepts me and is baptized shall be saved. But the ones that don't shall be in for eternal damnation. So Paul concluded that this just wasn't a vision. It just wasn't a ghost. It was a divine appointment from God. And as he made it into Philippi, suddenly and immediately, there was a young lady by the name of Lydia. She and her entire household were saved. And then he went on. There was a lady filled with divination. She was saved, and not only her, but the many that were hearing Paul and Silas's voice were saved. So he went throughout the city preaching the gospel. And this lady, a divination, she was a soothsayer. She had masters that she would work for, and she gained them much money by her works. You know who this lady is. Today's day, she's Miss Cleo. Who's been trying to call Miss Cleo? You've seen the signs out there. Come here, I will read your palm. Don't let them read your palm. Tell them to read the word. And if you tell them to read the word, they'll go away from that palm. That palm can't tell them anything. But these women, this woman, she was following Paul and Silas, and she did it for many days. Verse 18 says she did it for many days, and she was telling the people that Paul and Silas were preaching. They didn't understand that, but she was telling them, these men are of the Most High God, and they are showing us the way of salvation. Now here it is, this soothsaying money-gaining woman now is causing these folks that in charge of her to miss out on their money. And they didn't like that. See, when we go out and we witness for God, we're going to set a lot of folks free, folks. A lot of folks will be free. A lot of folks will be delivered from some entrapment. A lot of folks will be delivered from bondage. And the bondage is the people, the non-believer, the evildoers out there have you bound and handcuffed. You may as well go ahead and give in to them, because they have you bound. You belong to them. Why do I belong to them? Because you move at their every word. You respond at their every word. Don't let nobody have control over you. I'm only a puppet for God. And when God pulled my string, then I shall move. So the first thing is I want you to understand is that prayer is necessary. When your mission for God and with God, when you're witnessing for God, it is also necessary that you pray. You want to see our own time God show up suddenly and immediately? Start praying. Watch something happen. In verse 25, it says it was at midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying, and they sang praises unto the God. And as they were singing praises unto God, look, it was midnight. They weren't having a pity party. They've been locked up, beaten, thrown in jail. They weren't questioning or blaming God. They weren't blaming the people for their being where they were. They didn't waste any energy on those things that was unprofitable to them. In other words, they were exerting all of their energy into praise and prayer unto God. So then, as they were praying and praying and praising God, watch what happens. Watch what happens. The prisoners heard them. Don't miss that. As they were praying and as they were singing praises unto God, the prisoners heard them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In spite of what that situation was, they were still praying and praising him. How many of us want to give up and not and shut up? Lock our lips and not praise God. Although we're going through, we know that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So wherever we are, he's with us. They're still ministering. They're still praying. They're still praising him. Jesus told his disciples over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, around the first verse, He told them that the parable that men ought always to pray. Pray and not faint. In other words, pray and don't give up. That was a widow there. She kept going to this judge, and this judge didn't have no reverence or no fear of God, and neither did he care anything about man. But this widow kept going to this judge and telling this judge to avenge me, my adversary. She was persistent in her prayer and her seeking this judge to deliver her from her adversaries. And the judge finally came to his senses and said, I better attend to what this lady is asking me before she worry me to death. She was persistent with her prayer. So therefore, not only is prayer necessary, but praise is also necessary. See, we're not only praying when they're singing songs and praises. They weren't only singing and praising God. They were doing this in the midnight hour. Well, Reverend, why in the midnight hour? Why not in the middle of the day? They're in the prison. And if they had been doing it in the middle of the day, I know you've seen the movies and the shows and watched some of the cop shows, how they be in the prisons and in the middle of the day, all of the people are out and about, and they lifting weights, they're in the courtyards, the gangs are hanging out together trying to make a plot of how they're going to take out one another. But Paul and Silas was doing this in the midnight hour. They weren't doing it in the day because there may have been too much distraction if they were doing it in the day, too much noise going on in the middle of the day. The people wouldn't hear them if they were doing this in the middle of the day. So they were doing it at the midnight hour. And at the midnight hour, we presume it to be that the people should be asleep at this time. But Paul, when we look at this text, we see Paul and Silas in this text. But brothers and sisters, let me remind you that this is much bigger than Paul and Silas. When we go out and we ministry and we witness to someone, it's much bigger than we are ourselves. They were on a divine appointment from God to preach the gospel, and the preaching of the gospel, the people would hear it, and the people would hear it, and they would believe it, and when they believe it, they would accept it, and when they accept it, they would confess it, and when they confess it, they shall be saved. Sometimes God allows us to go into a midnight moments. And he allows us to go into midnight moments, church, because he wants our undivided attention. He don't want us doing everything else and trying to weave him in along with our trying to praise and serve him. We want us to put aside some time, a dedicated time, a purposeful time to serve and worship him. This time that you're in First Congregation this morning is put aside for God. I didn't come because I just have to come. I didn't come because somebody told me you need to be in church. I come because I desire to go and hear a word from the Lord. I desire to go in fellowship and worship with my brothers and sisters. Iron sharpens iron. You want to get an understanding of God's word? Keep going to God's word. Keep surrounding yourself with those that go to God's word. And you will learn what God's word says and how we are to respond to it and how we are to live by it. But if you want to keep living the way the world lives, stay on the outsides of the doors. Don't pick up your Bible. Don't read. Don't study. Don't pray. Don't fellowship. And watch your life continue to dwindle away. So when God sets you aside in your midnight hour, understand that he's doing it for your good. And now I can have a little talk with Jesus. These brothers, they were beaten with many stripes. And one would think that while they were in the jail, they were in locks, chains about their ankles. You would think that they would be trying to get some rest. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles and soar. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. These brothers didn't have time to be weary. These brothers didn't have time to be fainting. And these brothers didn't have time to be complaining. They were on a divine appointment from God to go and preach the gospel. They were singing unto the Lord in the midnight hour. They were waking everybody up. The prisoners heard them singing and praising God. Nobody was telling them to be quiet. Nobody was telling them to shut up. They were getting their prayer on. And they were getting their praise on. See, when you get your prayer on, and when you get your praise on, prosperity come knocking at your door. Tell me, because we serve an on-time God. Now that I got my praise on, they were singing and praising unto the Lord. And I heard Paul and Silas called upon the Lord, and he heard their prayer. Suddenly the gates were swung open. There was a great earthquake. You want to see something shaking up in your life? Start praising and singing to God and watch him show up, and he'll set you free from all things that have you bound. And it says immediately the doors were open. The shackles had broken loose from everybody's feet. No more shackles. Aren't you glad he set you free? You don't have to worry about shackles anymore. Shackles can't hold me down, because the God I serve is on time every time. The prison guard said he was standing at the gates, and when the gates swung open, he was gonna take his own life. Taking his life because he feared that Paul and Silas had gotten out of the jail. But I heard Paul say, put your sword away. Don't kill yourself. We're right here. We haven't gone anywhere. And then that old prison guard, who feared his life because the magistrate would kill him if they had gotten out. When you go to do the work of the Lord, know that everybody ain't gonna be for you. Somebody gonna hate on you, but you got to keep on preaching anyway. You got to keep on praying anyway. I heard him say to Paul, what must I do to be saved? And that's the word we want to hear from everyone we witness to. What must I do to be saved? Paul said, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? He said, I believe. The prison guard and his entire household saved. Lydia, the servant, the seller of purple, when he made it into Philippi, she and her entire household saved and baptized. The damsel, the lady that was full of divination, saved because Paul turned to her and told her. Well, he didn't tell her. Get it right, Rev. He told the demon that was in her, come out of her. She was saved. And she was the one that was running around making the word clear for the people that Paul was preaching to. See, sometimes you'll go plant a seed. Somebody else will come along and water that seed for you. Do your part. So she was explaining to them what was happening in the gospel that was being preached. These are the men of the Most High of God. They're teaching us the way of what? Salvation. And that's the ultimate thing right now, especially in the days that we're living in. Because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. We must then realize that we serve an on-time God. And since we serve an on-time God, we should be on time for him every time. Amen. Isn't he an on-time God? Aren't you glad you serve an on-time God? I'm certainly glad. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Job says he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You can ask the children of Israel, trapped by the Red Sea, on the banks of the river, they were running from old Pharaoh. He won't turn you away. He'll lead you every day. We serve an on-time God. Yes, we do. Don't you know he's an on-time God? Yes, he is. Oh, 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 on-time God. Yes, he is. Job says he may not come when you want him, I tell you, he's an. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. He fed 5,000. Two fish and five loaves of bread. What a miracle he did back then. And according to the songwriter, said he'll do the same thing for you and I right now. He made a dry road through the sea for the Israelites. Walk on dry grounds. He's an on-time God. And since we serve that on-time God, let's make it our business to try to be on time for him in everything that we do. Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. You may be that one that want to know the way of salvation that can only come through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Will you come at this time if you have not accepted him as your personal Savior? And perhaps you have accepted him as your personal Savior, but you've fallen short, like we all do. Will you return to him, repent of your sins, and allow him to start a work over, renew you, remold you, as the potter did with the clay? He told Jeremiah, said, I can do with you all more so than what this potter can do with this clay. If he can remold the clay and make it beautiful again, I can certainly remold you. And I'm waiting to remold you. Will you return to me and be remolded? Perhaps you've already accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you haven't been baptized to show your outward show of faith and your belief in Christ as your personal Savior, and you desire to be baptized. Will you be that one that come at this time? Baptism won't save you. It's just a test of your profession that you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. But according to the Word of God, it is necessary that you exercise in that. to show your dedication to Christ? Will you be that one? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just now, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray you have been blessed this morning. And I pray that this word that you have received this morning, you would take it and embrace it and meditate on it and go back and read the story. It's a beautiful story. Go back and read it. Because when you read the story, sometimes you get the happy glass and the can't help it. And you just can't put it down. So that's what my desire is for you, that you would meditate on the word day and night. That's what the blessed man does. And he prospers in everything that he does. Amen. All hearts and minds clear? Amen. Let us stand for the benediction. Father God, I thank you so much again for this word that you have spoken through this vessel this morning. Father God, I pray that it be used to go beyond these walls and be a ministry and a blessing to someone else, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for all that are in attendance today. I plead the blood of Jesus over their bodies, over their homes, over their life, Father God, asking in the name of Jesus that you anoint them in everything that they do. And as they go forth, Father God, let whatever they do, God, be to please you and not man. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, be our Lord and Savior. Glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. And may all God's children say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Take him with you as you go.